I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca, a new production of Edward Albee's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Three Tall Women Bows, at the Powell Studio Theatre in Vancouver's Coal Harbour this week, presented by the Western Gold Theatre. I'm joined now by the production's director, Terrence Kelly, and one of the show's performers, Anna Hagen. I'll get them to tell us about this production. In the play, an imperious acerbic old woman is cared for by two other women and visited by a young man. The sharp dialogue of Albee rings throughout, and the audience learns about life, love, and death. Western Gold Theatre is a professional company based at PAL, the Performing Arts Lodge at 581 Cardero Street. I'll get Ms. Hagen to tell us about Western Gold, as she is its artistic director. Visit 3.brownpapertickets.com for tickets, or call 604-363-5734 for reservations, and visit westerngoldtheatre.org for more information. In 2013, Ms. Hagen and Mr. Kelly received the Jesse Award for Career Achievement in Theatre. Their stage, film, and television credits are legion. Three Tall Women runs from the 23rd of October to the 9th of November, 2014. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program Anna Hagen and Terrence Kelly. Ms. Hagen, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
And Mr. Kelly, good morning.
I'm here. Good morning to you, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
So, what is it about Albee and his portrayal of women? I mean, is there something that makes him keenly aware of women?
Well, I just think he has such an astute ear for dialogue and for character, and he writes in such a way that it brings the people to life in such an amazing way. But it's really demanding stuff, because Albee writes his every line, every comma, every period. The punctuation is really important to the delivery of the line. Sounds totally natural when you're hearing it, but when you're reading it and trying to lift it off the page, it's like, oh my God, this is difficult stuff.
Yeah, so what's it like to perform him, Anna?
It's a pleasure. Excuse me, it really is. I'm playing the part of a 91-year-old woman. I'm not there yet.
Mm.
But it's wonderful. He's a classic, a masterful playwright. And you probably know the story is about these three women. And it's the old age, the middle age, and the young age, and it's actually the same woman, and it's semi-autobiographical. Albee was adopted, and he never got on with his adopted mother. She was quite, as the play says, imperious and acerbic, and she wanted him to live his life the way she thought he should do it, and I think when he was 19 or 20, he said bye-bye and left. And never went back for a very, very long time.
So this is a play that male members of the audience and female members of the audience will appreciate in equal
measure.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As I think Terry said, he's very uncanny the way he gets into the female mind. But ultimately with, the larger issues, it's about life and how we meet people, what we do in our relationships, how we live our life, how we make mistakes, and it's very, very funny. It's wickedly funny and somewhat black. But, it's a lark to do. It really is. It's a gift, because his language is deep, and he uses the language. We don't use words as much anymore in our very fast society. We have shortcuts, but he's like a storyteller. He's got a wonderful story to tell, and he starts off with a once upon a time theme, and then he meanders through the lives of these women. I'm really into it.
No, I'll bet, yeah. Terry, why is it we don't see much Albee produced in Vancouver?
I think it's because he is beyond a lot of the abilities of some of the companies to cast. Like finding the casting for this particular play, you need a woman who is old enough to be able to play, suggest at least a 91-year-old woman, but still has the chops to be able to pound through a two-page, ramble of speech and memory. And you need the 50-year-old and the 26-year-old that all play together. And the use of the language is a little beyond some of the younger people who are just coming out of theater schools and universities and things like that. So they have to be, it has to be suggested to them how to find their way into this slightly heightened language. it sounds quite naturalistic when you hear it, but when you're trying to read it, it's not contemporary. He wrote it in 94. This one actually won a Pulitzer Prize for it in 94. It came out in 92. And it was the third of his Pulitzer Prize-winning plays, and I think it's his best.
And this came much later than, say, A Delicate Balance and Virginia Woolf, right?
Yeah, Virginia Woolf was quite a bit before that. And the other, Virginia Woolf, funnily enough, he did not win a Pulitzer Prize for.
Really?
It was A Delicate Balance, yes, which we've both done, and the other one was Anna?
It was Seascape.
Seascape, which you've done also.
Yes, I've actually had the good fortune to do all three of Albee's plays. The first one, Seascape, I think I did about 25 years ago, and then A Delicate Balance was done, 10 years ago, and now this one. And
I think you're the only actress that's ever done all three.
Yeah.
But you met Albee then, didn't you, with Seascape?
Yes, I did. When he came here, there was a seminar, and we actually spoke to him, and he, of course, was 25 years younger then, and he was very specific about, I am a playwright, and I am gay. I am not a gay playwright. Apparently, he's got that appellation from a lot of people, but his sexuality and his preference has really nothing to do with his writing. And this play, as Terry said, was done in 92 for the first time in Austria, over in Europe. That's where he performed it, and then it came back to New York.
Well, what are some of the themes that you found in the process of putting this production together that you really found interesting to work out? I understand that forgiveness is one of those themes. Did you find anything with regards to forgiveness that you'd say learn, perhaps?
Yes, I did. I think as I'm into my middle years, late middle years, it really, having regrets about things we did or feelings of that person betrayed me or whatnot, ultimately it really doesn't matter. And all those personal vengeance and revenge, what it does is it harms you. So ultimately, we have to forgive because we're all headed on the same path, and it's comforting in a way because the younger person in the play, she's youth. She represents youth, and it's I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to be like that person, and I won't do this, and I won't do that. But we're human. We all live through the so-called ups and downs of our lives and what people do to us and how we react. But I'm a grandmother, so, you know, I've been through a lot too, but I have grandchildren, and when I look at them, I think, what else matters, you know?
Yeah.
It's they have to go through a lot, but it's all good. I'm at a very good point in my life.
He has some really interesting things to say about memory, too,
mm-hmm.
because we all have our memories of when we were children, when we were growing up, when we were in school, our successes and so things. And he says it's not, we don't really remember the actual happenings anymore. Now we're just remembering the memories of it. We're past that actual moment. I'm not putting it anywhere near as well as he does.
Yeah.
And it just kind of falls out of one of his characters at one point, and you go, oh, my God, it never occurred to me. It's like, oh, okay. He just drops these little nuggets as they go by, and you just sort of marvel at the things that he's approaching, that he's exploring.
Terry, Anna is one of the four people that we'll see on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk about the other three?
Yes, I'd love to. There's Beatrice Zeilinger, who is in her middle age sort of age group in the 50 area, and she's been an actress in Vancouver for many years. She stepped back from acting for a little while to have her family, and now she's coming back into it again full blast. She's an amazingly talented woman. She's got so much depth to her. With her playing the younger woman is Megan,
mm-hmm.
Megan Chernofsky, who just finished winning last year. She won a Jesse Award as Best Supporting Actress in a production, which is the Vancouver Theatre Awards, as you probably know,
mm-hmm.
of course. The young man is just out of university. He plays the son who comes to visit his dying mother, and he doesn't come until later in the piece. But he's Matt his name is Matt
Resnick.
Resnick.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And it's basically, but the play centers around the three women.
Yeah.
Really fine. First and foremost.
What's it like, Anna, to work with these younger performers? I mean, I guess that's the mandate of Western Gold, right?
Yes, it is. Western Gold, if I can talk about it for
please.
A minute, it was founded between 15 and 20 years ago by Joy Coghill, one of the legends of our time, still extremely, she's active, very much alive, but yes, she found when she got to middle age that she wasn't really getting as much work as she wanted to. So she said, I'm going to form a company of senior performers. And we usually say it's in the 50s, from 55 up, our company. But of course, we have to work with younger people. So as I said, it's a company of senior professional actors. And part of our mandate is to mentor younger professionals. So that's what this play does, actually. It's perfect. And it has nothing to do with talent. A lot of people think that seniors think they're better and they're more talented. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that we've been around longer and we've experienced more things. And we want to pass on this, I suppose, tradition. You know, I've worked with people that are long dead who worked with other people that are legends. And there's stories and there's methods of acting which we can pass on to them. And then we also learn from the younger people. Because
they bring an energy to it that's really refreshing.
Yeah.
So acting and performing, and in your case, Terry, directing in this production, I mean, these are skills, these are muscles, I guess, that you need to keep honed, right?
Yeah, good word. That's very much the case. It's the same with the memory when you're having to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you learn, the more you can learn, and the easier it is to learn. It's just working that muscle and getting it going. But some people haven't actually learned, in because they're younger, starting out in the business, haven't learned the techniques of dealing with certain kinds of dialogue. All plays aren't the same. You don't approach Shakespeare the way you would a Restoration play or a contemporary play or indeed Albee. It's just a different way of using the text and of finding your way into it and finding what resonates within you that you can bring through the text to the audience. It's a really fascinating process, all in all.
And Anna, for you, what continues to motivate you to work? I mean, is there something, did you find that there's a need to
Oh, perform? Very much so. Very much
yeah.
so. I don't know. It's hard to explain. As I said, you know, I'm late middle-aged, but I still have a fire in my belly. You know, I've been very, very fortunate. I have good health. I was extremely active as a young person athletically, and then I went into acting. So I'm healthy, and I have a good energy, and as I said, I've worked with, just some wonderful people in Shaw and Stratford, and yeah, I know how to do it, you know, and those muscles, it's, if you don't use them, you lose them, you know, so it's, when Joy said that she didn't or couldn't run the company anymore, we went through a couple of people, ups and downs, we got a lot of funding, and then the recession hit, and it was almost as if, well, maybe the company should just die a decent death, but we decided, no, we want to continue. There's enough of a core of senior performers that contribute to the theatrical community in Vancouver. So that's what I'm doing, and it's a lot of work, and it's work that I love. It's done with gratitude. I'm really happy I can still do it.
Yeah. It also speaks to the great community of actors, performers that we have in this in the city, doesn't it?
I mean, it's amazing.
It's brilliant. I did some auditions for two of the parts in the play, and it was devastating how talented the people were and how there was only two parts to offer to all of these amazing actresses who came in and showed me their work. It was just wow.
Yeah.
And there's great theater from the variety of companies we have in this town, right?
Yes,
yeah.
There really is. I mean, the youth, the younger performers in this town, no one can beat them. I mean, they're really, really talented. And we've got some major theaters, and I find that more and more people are really interested in going to the theater. You know, we've had so much progression in the technology and the TV and the films, but ultimately, people like to hear a story. It's like being a kid. Once upon a time, everyone likes to hear a story. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what we do when we act. We tell a story about these people who probably have, well, they do have the same emotions, but they approach life differently. But it's a story, and it's very quiet in the theater, and all these people in one room listening and watching the story. It's extremely powerful.
Mass energy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
And then the space at PAL, I mean, what's that like to fill?
It's
okay. It's a jewel box. It's a very intimate space. It could go into various different configurations. We're actually, for this particular production, we're going to be turning it into a proscenium arch type small theater for the first time. It's never been used that way before. So there'll be like a front curtain, and it'll be just like we're walking into a more traditional sort of old fashioned or kind of theater. It's really a lovely space. It's beautifully equipped. It sits on the 8th floor of the Performing Arts Lodge, and there's a lovely garden that surrounds it all up on the 8th floor. So you come out at intermission or before the show, and you're in the lounge, which is quite large, and then you can go outside onto the deck if you like, and it's beautifully landscaped, trees and flowers, and you're up high in the city, and it's all the fresh air. It's beautiful. And then you go into this dark theater, and the lights come on, the music plays, and it all unfolds. It's really exciting.
I'm getting excited.
Now, you're both Toronto-born, I understand.
That's a misnomer. I was actually a Canadian born out of a country. I was born in England because my dad was over there doing a job called the Second World War, and I got born there. But I didn't come home until I was about 3 and a half.
I see. But you spent most of your
years in B.C.
Yeah, I see, okay.
I was high school and everything like that in B.C.
Okay. Yeah. What brought you, Anna, to Vancouver?
My two sons, they were born in Hollywood, if you can believe it, and I didn't really want to raise my sons there, so my then husband, my first husband, and I went to England with the two boys, and then it was pretty hard then. And we thought, you know, we just don't want to go on the dole over here, so let's go back to Canada. And we decided we wanted to come to the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I came here in the 70s.
And I looked you up on IMDb, both of you.
Yeah.
And you have just a ton of credits in film and television.
Yeah.
Was a balance of that work done here?
Yes, most of it. I think both Terry and I, when we did our film and TV work, have gone elsewhere on location, but mainly it was done here. And we both went to Stratford and Shaw for a couple of years, and Edmonton, following our mentor, Robin Phillips, who's an older gentleman now, but he ran Stratford Festival for 5 years. But this is home, really. If they want to take us over to France or something to do a film, fine, we'll go. But this is home. This is where we work.
Yeah, we've actually had some fun things happen with film and stuff. We both got cast in a film that we're shooting in Tahiti.
Uh-huh.
So we went off to Tahiti for 18 days to shoot that. It was glorious.
It doesn't sound terrible at all, does it?
No, hardly at all. But you know what? That was a one-off. It doesn't happen very often.
And I had Stephen Miller on the program once, he was in a Betty Davis movie.
Yes.
You both were in that, right?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
They were. Piano for Mrs. Cimino, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you have any scenes with her? Do you work with her at all?
I had quite a long scene. I was a young lawyer cross-examining her in the witness box. She was this old woman seeing whether she had the right to live alone and all that stuff, and I was a smart-ass, hotshot young lawyer cross-examining her. I have a wonderful story for that. We were using the courthouse, the new courthouse. It was new at that time in Vancouver, and it was just opening, so there were some courtrooms empty. And we went in there, and the cameras were all set up to do her close-ups and stuff, and she was kind of trapped behind screens and things, and all the crew, and I was standing there feeding her lines. And the crew, they called a break. It was like lunch break. So, okay, fine, lunch break. The crew all left. Everybody else left. I was just leaving. I realized they'd left her locked in the witness box, surrounded by equipment. And she climbed up on the chair, hiked up her skirt, and crawled over the top. I ran and helped her down. She was she was just a real person. She was so much fun.
Yeah. Did you have any scenes with her, Anna?
Not really. I played the social worker. So I don't have any stories. She was very generous. She smiled and looked at me, and she had a young caregiver, much like this play, who was very, very sweet. And no, I was quite in awe of her. She was still very feisty, very aware, but most generous and professional.
And it, you mentioned that you spent some time in Hollywood. Was that when you were, say, on Ben Casey and
yes,
programs like
yes,
that?
Yes, that was, I think it was sort of, it was going into the early 70s. Yeah, I did a Ben Casey. When we arrived in Hollywood, you always look up people when you go to a different place, and we looked up this director from Toronto, and he said, I think there's a part for you. Go and see Mr. So-and-so on Monday, and I did, and I got the part, and that was the Ben Casey. And in Hollywood in those days, you really, well, you still do, you needed to have an agent, and getting one was somewhat difficult. But the fact that I was already working, had just arrived, I got an agent right away, and then Bob's Your Uncle, that started the whole thing.
You did a Gunsmoke too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a Gunsmoke, and oh my God. Yeah, I worked with a lot of people down there in the early days.
You know, what's kind of fun is I grew up watching Three's Company.
So
it's kind of cool to talk to a guy who played Norman Fell.
Oh, God, that was fun. Yeah. Yeah, it was really neat. They built the set, the identical set for the film that they used on the series.
Mm-hmm.
So we were playing right on their set, in fact, but they built it specially.
So this was a TV movie that was shot here?
Yeah.
That was behind the scenes of the Three's Company.
I think it was shot in Winnipeg.
Oh, really?
As I recall.
Yeah, and so, did you watch the show at all?
Or? I did. Yeah, and I watched hours and hours of sort of trying to get the gestures and the thing of Norman Fell down. He was a wonderful actor. He actually spent the last of his years in the California, the equivalent of the Performing Arts Lodge in California, the actors' home. Known for actors in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm friends with David Berner, and he worked with him in Edmonton for a number of years.
Yeah, David's a bud too.
Yeah, David's great.
Yeah, this production. I mean, how many productions does the Western Gold put on each year?
What we do since I took over, Joe, we do two staged readings. A staged reading is it's almost the same as a full production, except the actors carry their scripts.
I see.
Putting on a full production, as I'm sure you're aware, costs a lot of money. And we don't have a lot of money. So what I like to do is I like to find a play with 10 or 11 people in it, cast it, and then we come in on a Tuesday, and we have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to get it all together. I block it, and we go from scene to scene, and we have lights and music and whatnot, and then we play Friday, two shows Saturday, and one Sunday. And they're a great, great thing for our audiences, particularly the senior patrons that used to go to the Vancouver Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the old days, they used to do big costume things with 20 people, and you never see that anymore, but we're still telling the story. So we do two of those a year, and then we do one full production. We throw all our pennies at the full production, which is what we're doing right now, Three Tall Women. But we've done things by playwrights like Priestley and Alan Bennett, and they're mainly comedies and family stories. Molière, we did a wonderful production of The Miser recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to both of you today. Break a leg, as they say, and all the best with everything.
Oh, likewise.
You're a terrific interviewer.
You really are.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Edward Albee's Three Tall Women, presented by Western Gold Theatre. That runs the 23rd of October to the 9th of November at the Powell Studio Theatre, 581 Cardero Street. Visit 3.brownpapertickets.com and westerngoldtheatre.org for tickets. Terry Kelly and Anna Hagen joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantum.